for the reading of the gospel. I'm going to start with that from the gospel of Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 36. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Peter Gregg is an author, pastor. He wrote God on Mute, a book that was gifted to me last year by my friend Janet, and I started reading it after Easter, and it has a 40-day devotion in the back of it, and I'm actually traveling through that right now during this season of Lent. I became a fan of Peter's in probably the late 90s, I guess, as he was a co-founder of one of the movements out there called the 24-hour prayer movement, if you've ever heard of it. But he writes this book, this powerful book, about struggle and about these unanswered prayers. The subtitle for his book is Engaging the Silence of Unanswered Prayer. Engaging the Silence of Unanswered Prayer. So we're going to travel till Easter with this God on Mute series inspired by this book, but this series is going to address unanswered prayers. We're going to address suffering, heavenly silence. We're going to address this cosmic problem of pain and suffering and evil and all that encompasses that, our feelings that when God is silent, we could just sweat blood like Jesus did in the garden. And so we're also going to deal with four profound questions that we all have asked, and everybody actually, I think, does ask, whether they admit it or not. But these four questions are this: how am I going to get through this, whatever this is, and or why aren't my prayers being answered? Where is God when heaven is silent, right? And then when will my prayers be answered? Okay? Will my prayers be answered? And this journey together to Easter is going to be using the details of some of Holy Week. And so it's going to be a little strange as we travel to Holy Week. We're going to be talking about Holy Week. We're actually, you'll be looking at the last 4 days of Holy Week in the last 24 hours of Jesus's life, and then the 3 days in the tomb. So we're gonna be looking at Maundy Thursday, where he's praying in the garden, all the way up to Easter morning and the empty tomb. See, the last days of Jesus's experience in life had spiritual darkness in them. They had spiritual tests all around him. It wasn't assured that he was actually going to be able to go to the cross if he needed to and fulfill the Father's will. I mean, he was a man. He could have run away. You know, he could have attacked like his disciples. He could have abandoned the whole entire thing. He had soul suffering. He had unanswered prayers. He made comments that we hear like, "How am I going to go through this? My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." Have you ever said that? Have you ever felt that? And then he said, "Thy will be done, but please take this cup from me," right? This cup of suffering from me. And why aren't my prayers being answered? How am I going to get through this? Why aren't my prayers being answered? I mean, he had this emotional anguish. He had betrayal from friends, and he had abandonment from those closest to him. He had physical torment. He was flogged. He was hung on a cross, right? God's silence was ever present in his life during those moments. "Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus said, as he hung on the cross. I mean, even to where he died, it is finished, and he died, right? And so where are you, God? You know, I mean, where'd you go, right? And then there's these 3 days of silence in heaven. And then God answers, of course, with the resurrection on Sunday morning. So have you ever, let me ask you a question, have you ever been ghosted before? Ghosted before, it's not when you turn into a ghost or anything like that. You know what ghosted is? You might have heard that term, right? It relates to modern day dating or modern day relationships. And it's a term, you know, they say, they ghosted me, right? You say that. They ghosted me. You had a great time. You were on a date, or you spent some time together, maybe not on a date, but you just were together and you had thought it was like really cool. Maybe you have a new friend, or maybe you have a new boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it is. Okay. And so you days and weeks go by and there's no response to your phone calls, to your voice messages, to your text messages, to your direct messages, whatever it is, whatever your way you're trying to communicate. And it appears that everything was great before and now you had a great connection and sparks, and now it's like crickets, right? It's ghosting, they call it. So being ghosted, when you have that problem, it creates unanswered questions. You begin to ask yourself, I mean, what did I do? You know, what did I say? Is it me? You know, did I do something wrong? Why no answer? And you actually obsess about it. You try to analyze everything that you said and everything you did, and it almost becomes so all-encompassing. Have you ever felt ghosted by God, right? I mean, has God ever ghosted you, right? You've probably experienced this. You probably maybe feel it right now. What did I do to deserve this, God, right? Why did that happen? You know, what do we do with a silent God? Where do we go? You know, how do we survive this? How do we survive that? And have you ever been ghosted, you know, by God? We need God sometimes to be speaking the loudest when he's actually the most silent in our life. And so that's the reality. That's what we deal with. And we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna deal with that, because that's real life. That's real faith. That's when the brass tacks, you know, I mean, it comes together. Edwina Gately writes a prayer or a poem. It's called Silent God. And this is what she says. This is my prayer, that though I may not see, I be aware of the silent God who stands by me, that though I may not feel, I will be aware of the mighty love which doggedly follows me, that though I may not respond, I will be aware that God, my silent, mighty God, waits each day, quietly, hopefully, persistently, waits each day and through each night for me alone. We've heard biblical stories. When we open our Bible, there's all sorts of stories about people who have dealt with the silence of God in their life. I mean, think about Abram and Sarai, you know, who became Abraham and Sarah. They were older in their life, much, much older, and God had promised them that their descendants would be numerous as the stars, and nothing. And so they kind of devised their own plan with a maidservant and Hagar, and that's basically where you get Ishmael born and all this stuff. And that was 10 years later, after God promised that their descendants would be numerous as the stars. Then Ishmael is born. They kind of tried to come up with their own plan, and that wasn't God's plan. But then 14 years pass, and then Isaac is born. So over 20 years or so that they had silence, nothing going on after they heard from God. Maybe you know the story of Job, right? Job was a faithful man, probably the most faithful man on earth, God says, and says, sure, you can test him. And he wasn't just tested, he was actually tormented, it seemed like. And his friends were all like, well, where's this God you believe in now, right? You know, what did you do? Unanswered questions. King David was a young boy when he was anointed to be king, and then he ran for his life, right? As Saul tried to kill him. He didn't get his promise. He didn't get his kingship till later on, as he had to survive all this turmoil and suffering and uncertainty along the way, but it was fulfilled later on. But it seemed like quite a bit of silence in between those moments. Filmmaker Ingmar Bergman was telling a story about how he was listening to Stravinsky music, the music of Stravinsky. And it was like he was in a trance and he was just enjoying this beautiful music. And so he has a vision that comes upon him, which is interesting. He has this vision that he's in this 19th century cathedral, and he's wandering around this cathedral, and he comes upon this portrait of Christ that's hanging on the wall. He walks over this portrait of Christ hanging on the wall, and he just shouts, "Speak to me. I will not leave this place until you speak to me." And nothing. He doesn't hear anything. And all of a sudden, the vision is over, and he wakes up from this trance. Nothing. Just like me and everyone else, I think we've all wondered, you know, is God on mute, right, during these times? I mean, what's going on, right? I mean, this current situation I'm dealing with or I dealt with, I mean, is God just silent? I mean, we deal with it all the time as pastors as well. I mean, we're wondering, you know, is God on mute? I mean, why can't I hear him? You know, this is frustrating. This is confusing. We need some clarity. And at times, there's nothing. It's crickets. I think it's a cosmic problem that we all have, is the best way to say that. And people everywhere, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, probably have experienced God's silence. And so I just want to bring an invitation to you as we take this journey towards Easter. I think this invitation and this time, this journey for us will actually bring about some answers to what we deal with, and some truths will be revealed along the way. There's two things that I think we need to prepare with and we need to do and we need to think about as we move into the series. And the first is this: we need a big God. Around here we have Our God is big enough bracelets, and it's one of our core values that hangs on our wall, but we need a big God. Why do we need a big God? Because when you're living with unanswered prayers, you need a big, death-defying God. You don't need a small God. You need a big God who can do extraordinary and impossible things, who can overcome those moments of pain and tragedy and suffering and uncertainty, who draws us into an indestructible life through faith. That's what we need. We need a big God. And the second thing is, we need to remember God's story. Always remember God's story when you're dealing with maybe silence or unanswered prayers. I love how Peter Gregg says it. The incomparable story of Christ's agony, abandonment, and eventual resurrection remains the greatest story of hope for a hurting world. That's what we believe. That's what we put our faith in, right? The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the story of God. Remember God's story. So in just a moment, we're going to share in communion. It's not a long sermon today. It's our time that we're going to share in communion, and that's really the sermon. And before Jesus actually took this journey that of like the garden and the cross and the tomb, he shared a meal with his friends. And what he did was he connected his death with life. He connected, he said, you know, this is my body and this is my blood. And he connected also God's silence that they would hear and endure in those days that he was in a tomb with the most meaningful, the most beautiful answer ever experienced. It was the loudest proclamation of God in the history of the world, and that's the love and the hope of the resurrection. It connected all those things together. And so here in just a moment, as we come and we share in communion, I want us to understand that God is always present, whether we hear him or not. And as we travel this journey of answering some of these tough questions together, he's truly here with us. May you experience his presence and his forgiveness and his grace in the midst of this time together. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you have done in our life and you continue to do. Lord, it's real. You know, maybe even so more so as we deal with what's going on around us in this world, that we're praying and then we still see death. We still see destruction. We still see pain, suffering. We still endure disease in our life and struggles and unanswered prayers. But in the midst of all of that, Lord, I just pray that we understand that you're there, this mighty God. Your answer is ultimately resurrection, hope, and grace. Thank you again for this journey that we get to take, a journey that you took. Let's grow stronger in our faith as we take it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat. This is my body. It was broken for you. He took the cup, he gave thanks. He said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant that was shed for you and shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we pray that this bread and this cup will be for us the body and the blood of Christ, as we're called to be the body and the blood of Christ in the world around us. So as we come now, we come with a time of confession. And we take just a moment of silence and we silently confess our sins to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen and amen. We will be partaking of this meal up at the rails. You'll be served a piece of bread and then a cup. Take it, partake of the meals, head back to your seat. I think most everybody's going to come by the center aisles, and those on the outside aisles can come from the outside. And this is not the John Wesley UMC table. It's the Lord's table. And so everyone is invited, faith and grace. So the table is now open as the servers come forward.
Nothing but the blood.
4 weeks. We had a membership pathway, opportunity for people who wanted to know a little bit more about our church, possibly even join our church, or for some of the newest members of our church. And there was a group of around 16 or so, and we were excited to have that happen. We actually have three folks, actually four total, that will be coming to join the church today, and one of them to be baptized. And so I'd like the Gray family to come up here, as well as Renata, and we are going to have the Gray family joining our church, and Renata is going to be baptized. So come on up. Very exciting. So y'all come on up over here. Yeah, come on, Renata. And this is Mo. This is Renata's husband. And so not to tell everything about them, but they do live across the street. So we're doing something right, you know, so that's important. But and the Gray family is coming to us from a transfer. They used to live in Midland. And so they are now part of the preschool as well, but we will enjoy getting to know them further as well. So we're going to baptize Renata right now. And so you can stay there. I'm going to ask you some questions first. Today, as Renata, she's coming to receive baptism, okay? And baptism is not a response to God when we actually become conscious of our need for God. It's much more than that. We don't get baptized. We actually receive baptism. We're initiated in, incorporated, given birth into God's kingdom by God's grace and God's love. It's a response of faith to Jesus Christ. And that's what it is, was for all of us as well. And so it's this precious gift. And ultimately this precious gift is an invitation to new life, a life of forgiveness, washing away our sins, an act of God's grace and love as we receive that in our life. So I'm going to ask you these questions. Do you repent of your sin? Do you believe in God the Father, and are you willing to live for his glory? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, and will you listen and obey his promptings? Do you desire to be baptized into the faith of Jesus Christ? All right. You can kneel down here, and we'll do it right here. So. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Pray God's richest blessings upon you all the days of your life. Amen and amen. Amen. Stand up. Let's celebrate. Beautiful outward expression of what God has done in her life. It's so beautiful. Stay up here for just a moment, because I'm going to ask all of you all of these questions. Do you have faith in Christ? That's what I like to ask again. Do you have faith in Christ? And will you support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Fantastic. Well, we are so grateful that you guys are joining us. This is Joel, this is Courtney, and this is little Ben. So we welcome them as well. And so the Gray family and Renata over here and are the newest members of John Wesley United Methodist Church. We're excited to be in ministry with them. So you guys can go take a seat, or you can head out into the narthex. I think we would love for y'all with Trish to be with Trisha so people could greet you and say hi to you. Please stand for the benediction. As you go from this place, may you love God, may you embrace beauty, may you live life to the full. So go in peace. Amen and amen. Y'all have a great week.